Okay, good evening. So, we are Reish Samechei Sif Beis. Last time, I think we left with two open questions. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And welcome, my stuff. We had a couple open questions. I clarified two I forget which week we did. No, actually, last week was the brachos issue. So I think I mentioned during the shiur, there's three brachos that are made over the course of the milah. One is Asher Ki, we'll continue talking about it tonight, but the first one is Asher Ki Yishav Esav Etzivanu, and we'll see, Al Hamila, or Limol Esav Ben, or Esav Yeled, as we'll see. Limol Esav Ben, right? And then there is Lachniso Bivriso Shel Avram Avinu, and then the third one is Asher Kedishi Dimi Betan. So the first two are done right as you're starting the bris, right before you start the bris, and then the second one is done by the father as the bris is going on, and then the third bris of Lachniso is of Asher Kedish, that is done after the bris is already completed. So there is a I think I mentioned last time that there is that one of the tshuvos, if you're interested, so on YU Torah, so there's at least 30, maybe even more by now, tshuvos that Rav Schechter wrote, B'inyane coronavirus. And all of them they're actually Hebrew and English, although you'll notice pretty quickly that the English is about a third the length of the Hebrew. So it's not a clear translation, but at least the main points are also written in English. And one of them is about the issue of naming children. So naming girls. What should one do about naming girls? And usually we name girls in shul, and we're not able to do that, so does that mean girls just go without a name for a couple of months until you're actually able to get together in shul? So he writes in that tshuva that really the minhag of naming a girl in shul probably just comes from naming a boy in shul, and the only reason we name a boy in shul is because you usually do a bris in shul. So because the bris is being done in shul, so then you name the child publicly. So the same thing is being done for girls, but that's really not mi'ik or adin. It's really no halacha that requires that, and therefore he thinks that a girl could be named on her own, you know, parents just name her something or could do a naming ceremony on their own. He then adds in that for boys, the same thing would, that the boys are usually going to have a bris, so along with the bris, I see my chat is, please adjust your camera so we could see you. Ah, okay, got it. Okay, so by boys, it's done along with the bris, and generally there's other people there, although there's not necessarily, although we talked a little bit about it last week, not really a halacha that you require a minyan by a bris, but at least there are other people there, and you name the child there. So Rav Schechter, in this tshuva, makes a comment that he doesn't think that while a naming of a child could be done remotely, meaning you could, the Zeta is watching via Zoom from another continent, so he thought there's no problem with the Zeta naming the child from another continent. Over Zoom, there's no issue with that. But he makes a comment that, but the bracha needs to be done in the presence of the child. So I happen to call Rav Schechter over Chol HaMoed, and I mentioned to him what we mentioned this year last time, that there is in the Pesachim Tshuvos, it quotes from Rav Yashiv that says that if the father is not present, the father is overseas or something, and he is not present for the bris, and he wants to, but he knows when the bris is going on, so he can name the child, he could make the bracha of Asher Lachnisu Bivris remotely. That's really the father's bracha, as we spoke about last time. And therefore, the father can make that bracha wherever he is. And the Pesachim Utshuvos points out that even those who argue that he can't, they only argue that he can't because he doesn't know exactly when the bris is taking place. But if the technology, but if he knows when the bris is taking place, meaning the argument against it was in the 1800s, they tell the father, oh, at 10 a.m., the bris is going to take place. So he makes the bracha then. But he doesn't really know when the bris is actually happening. But nowadays, we actually know when the bris is happening, so you can, the father can make the bracha remotely. So I mentioned this shita to Rav Schechter. So he found it interesting. Okay, good. But then he disagreed. He said he didn't think that it was true. He thought that the bracha really does have to be in the presence of the child. One can make the case that Shir Kaddish, maybe Lachniso Bibris, that second bracha is really the father's bracha. He said, maybe, but he wasn't convinced that that's the appropriate thing to do. So I'm sure this has happened, many times over the last couple of weeks that the father perhaps is not, because of some quarantine restrictions, is not present at the bris. So I'm not sure what, I don't know what the psak is. It probably would depend who you asked. Okay, so as we head into this week, there's actually a couple of interesting large shas sugyas that are out there. Who is my stuff? Can I just, let me know? Anyone? Going once? Going twice? No? Oh, Bob! Hi, Bob! Okay. Thank you. Good to hear from you. So see a pop-up from you. Okay, so as we head into Reish Samachay Siv Beis, so there's actually a few sort of very large sugyas that are over these next couple of daf, and that bris is sort of used as a proof one way or another. So the first one, if you have the copy of the Beis Yosef that I sent, so that begins there. So we'll look in the Torah. In the Torah it says, V'chasav HaRambam, Aleph was that the bracha that you make on a bris is, Asher Kisham Savit Sivanu Al Hamila. So turns around, then the Torah continues on and says, the chasav Rambam shima vi haben mal ba'atzu, if the father himself is doing the bris, mevarech, he should make the bracha of asher kishan misavet sivanu lamolas haben. That the bracha would actually be different. I mean, as opposed to a moel makes a bracha on mila, and the father makes a different bracha of lamolas haben. So if you look in the Beis Yosef there, so the bottom right where the Beis Aleph on that page, so he says, "Hachi itmar besugyan de gemar parakama de psachim." This is said in the sugya in the beginning of psachim. Let me just get my gemara here. There we go. So where the gemara actually has a machlokas about what the bracha should be on bedikas chametz. Very early on, daf zayin amar aleph. So the gemara makes a comment that let me. Okay, that the that Rav Yehuda says habodek tzarech sheyivarech, that one who makes a bracha, so one who's doing the checking, one who's doing bedichas chametz, he should make the bracha. So my mevarech. So what's the bracha that he makes? The Gemara asks. So Rav Papi says that he makes the bracha of levaer chametz, and Rav Papa amrish me derava al biur chametz. It's a machlokas whether the bracha on bedichas chametz is levaer or al biur. Right, that's the question that the Gemara is dealing with. So the Gemara says that levayer, everybody agrees, would be okay. Both opinions would agree they would be okay because it levayer is on the future. So you're making the bracha asher ki shabbat sivanu levayer, that I'm now going to check the chametz. Going to check for chametz. However, what do they argue about albiur? That one opinion is that albiur is about something in the past, and the other opinion is that albiur is about the bracha of al something is about something in the future. Okay, that's the machlokas. So it sounds like levayer everybody agrees would be okay. Albiur, the bracha of albiur, so that's a machlokas. Albiur, is that something going forward or is that something that's going back? So the Gemara asks, wait a second, but we make the bracha of al hamila, right? Asher kisham sad sivanu al hamila, the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, answers, well, what are you doing that? Well, what else could he say? Is he going to say lamol? So lo sagi delav ihumol. But what about if he is not the one who is doing the circumcision? Right? So the Gemara says, you can't, while in theory you should say lamol, it's ideally, it's about something that's about to happen. You could only say asher kishav tzivanu lamul to do this bris if you're the one actually commanded to do this bris. But if you're just a moel is a guy, he doesn't necessarily have a responsibility for this particular child. So it's inappropriate for him to say lamul. So therefore he says al hamila. But ideally he should say lamul. Ideally, he would say lamol. That's the implication of the Gemara. But he doesn't because he's the mol. And the Gemara asks, well, what about if he's the father? Avia ben Ma'ika lememar. So the Gemara says, you're right, ein hachinami. You're right. So what does it mean, you're right? So that ends up being this machlokas rishonim that plays itself out on the page here. He says, yeah, you're right. If it's the father, he can make the bracha of lamol. So therefore, what? So back into the Beis Yosef here. So the Rambam says that if the father, so the Rambam says, aha, right? The Gemara says that if he's the father, he should say Lamul. So that's the Shita Sarambam. The Shita Sarambam is that you make the bracha of Lamul Esaben if you're the father doing a bris on your own child. So if you'll take a look back in the Beis Yosef here, so in the Beis Yosef, he comments Veharan, on the second line of the Beis Yosef, Haran Hiksha Alav, the Ran asks on the Rambam, Delo Itmar Hachi, Ella Aliba Demanda Amar Levayer. He says that whole discussion of the Gemara is only according to the side that you say Levayer Chametz. Right? The assumption is Levayer is about in the future. Why can't you make the bracha of Al? Because Al is in the past. I do it on a bris. Well, that's because you have no other choice, right? But what bracha do we make on Biur Chametz? What bracha do we make when we are about to do Bedikas Chametz? Well, we don't make the bracha of Levayer Chametz. You can take a look in your Siddur. Right? It doesn't say we don't make the bracha of Levayer. We make the bracha of Al Biur Chametz, right? That we paskin the other way, that Al is on the future, implying that there shouldn't be a difference between whether you say al or whether you say le, and therefore asks the Ran, why does the Rambam seem to be saying that you should say levayer? That's all according to the other opinion in the Gemara. That's his question. Aval mandamar al biur avia ben nami mevarich al amila b'chin kas, right? If that's the case. But if you can make a bracha of al biur chametz, then you should also have no problem making the bracha of al hamila, right? And that's his suggestion. The shame Rashi. Although the truth is, you look in Rashi on the page, it's not so clear. I couldn't exactly see that Rashi was saying that, but that seems to be what the Hagos that Beis Yosef was implying as well. It's not so clear that Rashi is saying that. But anyways, that's the shita of many Rishonim. So how do we answer for that? So if you take a look on the backside of the page of the right, there's a long Beis Yosef that actually answers this question. He deals with this Machlokas Rishonim and answers the question. I'll just do a little bit of it. You know, as you see, it's pretty long. He says Venir Elisha Kasav Aran Kain Lefisha Hu Savor the Chol Hanach Meisve the Isa Hasam Havu Tiyufta Lamanda Amr Levayer. Right? As the Ran says that it's a open machlokas. So he says that any question there on one side is going to be a plus for the other side. But the Rambam, maybe he doesn't read it that way. Mahaval Harambam Esher de Mefarish, that he explains the manda amar levaer, the one who says levaer, pirusho af levaer, the al nami lahava mashma. That he says even you can make a bracha of levaer. Meaning it's not a either or, but rather is levar. You could even make levar, but even he would agree that al hamila dal nami levam, that al would also be okay. Vein lashna bracha shiura al haavar, and the bracha isn't really going on the past; it's really going on the future, and therefore both would be okay. But what advantage do you have of al hamila over lamol es haben? That al hamila would be universal. Al Amila, everybody would make the bracha of Al, and if you're not gaining anything by saying Levayer, by saying Lamol, so then you should have a universal bracha. He actually gets in here to some the other examples of the Gemara there. It talks about Al Natilas Lulav and the Gemara and Shchita. That what bracha do you make on Shchita? You make a bracha. The next case in the Gemara is what bracha do you make on Shchita? Asher Kishas HaTzibanu. Al hashchita, right? You don't say lishchot es habehema, right? Why is that? Because you don't actually have a mitzvah to shecht this animal, right? You have a bracha, you have a mitzvah in general of doing shchita, but there's no mitzvah, there's no bracha in particular of shechting this animal. So therefore, it only makes sense to make the bracha of al hashchita rather than lishchot. So then the Gemara asks, has the same discussion. Well, what about when you do have a mitzvah to do shechita? When do you have a mitzvah to do shechita? So, like, this is a bracha that we don't think about, but a bracha but the Korban Pesach, right? So you show up, the Gemara asks, you show up on Erev Pesach with your Korban Pesach. So Pesach v'kachim ma'ikal l'meimar, right? The owner of that animal, he should make the bracha of lishchot. So Gemara there says again, inachinami, you're right. So it's going to be the same machlokas. If one person shows up and says, okay, I'm shechting my own Korban Pesach, which, by the way, you don't need a Kohen doesn't have to shech the Korban Pesach. The person himself could show up, shech his own Korban Pesach. So what bracha does he make? Does he change the bracha or does he not change the bracha? So I didn't look in Hilchos Korban Pesach whether the Rambam makes a comment on that, but l'chore it would be the same machlokas. Okay, so we could read through the rest of the Beis Yosef, but I had my own problems working through it. I'm not sure this is the best forum to work through these the back and forth of the Al and the Lishchot. But that then brings us to the Shulchan Aruch itself. So hold your place in the Beis Yosef. In the Shulchan Aruch itself, it says, Im havi haben, how do we paskin in Reish Samachay Sif Beis? Im havi haben hu mochel ba'atzma mevarich lamol es haben l'das harambam. That if the father of the son is himself doing the milas, himself doing the bris, so then you would make the bracha of lamol es haben. Meaning you would change the bracha, and then he adds in l'das harambam, according to the Rambam. Now, the truth is, I'm not sure what that means in terms of the code words of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Shulchan Aruch usually just says halachos, and he's generally coded to a paskening like the Rambam. Sometimes, if the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the other Rishonim, he'll quote the other Rishonim, and then say, oh, but the Rambam disagrees. But this is a little bit different in that he's putting the Rambam, he's setting up a whole sif in the Shulchan Aruch, and just quoting the Rambam's opinion and labeling it as the Rambam's opinion. So I'm not sure. I don't know what Sfardim do in this scenario. But the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says v'yesh cholkim. It does disagree. V'chein noagin shelo l'chalik, that we don't make a different, that we don't make a distinction. Miu im berech lamol o she nevarich birchas lachniso l'chud yatsa. Right? If you only make the bracha of lamol, or you make the bracha of lachniso, so one is going to be yotzei. Right? We're not. While the Gemara is an interesting Gemara, and one could go through many of the brachos we say and ponder why is it that we say sometimes we say al and sometimes we say le, right? At the end of the day, it seems like from the Shulchan Aruch that it is not really ma'akif. Okay. So that is issue number one that we discussed. Now let's go back to the one thing that the Psakim Utshuvos mentioned here. I wanted to just throw out there that we didn't cover last week. If the father himself is doing the bris, so he actually makes both brachos before. Actually, I think we did comment on that. So I think it's in the Taz. Early on in Sifal. So the father is doing the bris himself, he would make both brachos at the same, he would make both brachos before you do the bris, right? Maybe he should do the second bris, brach in the middle, so we assume that's going to cause more pain for the child, meaning if the father is just the bystander, so he can make the bracha whenever he wants, but if he's doing the bris himself, we don't want him to be delayed by saying brachos if it's going to come at the expense of the pain of the child. Fine. So let's go on to Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel is, well, it does come up, the principle behind it is an interesting principle which has ramifications also throughout many halachos that come out regularly. So comes the Beis Yosef and says uvenolan mahol. You can read the tour. The tour in Gimel. That's the third of the pages that I sent in the of those Beis Yosefs. So it says in the tour, which is right in the black letters in the middle of the page, is uvenolan mahol kasafti l'mala she'im mevarchen alav. That if a child was born brist, he was born already circumcised, so I wrote above, that you don't make a bracha on that mila that you do. Meaning, you don't do a mila that, on the child, rather you would draw some blood. So you don't make a bracha when drawing that blood. Ubal ha'itter kasav, the Baal Itter says, shemavarchin alav, that you should make a bracha on that procedure. V'chasav, and he adds, sha'afilu l'divrei ha'omer she'en mavarchin bracha al ha'mila. That even according to those that say that you don't make the bracha that you don't make a bracha al hamila in this case. Aval birchas lach nisu bevrisu asher kedishu din mibaten mevarchim. The other brachas you certainly would make. Fine. And then the Rambam adds in she'ein mevarchin al androgynous mifnei shehu safek, that you're not going to make the bracha on androgynous because that case is a safek. V'ri pasak, however, shehu zachar gamur v'chayin v'lav skila k'zachar l'dvar mevarchin alav. And he's ruled as a male when it comes to various things that may cause the androgynous is the right that has both male and female organs. So that's the Rambam says that he's a suffix whether it's a male, while the Ri assumes that he is a male and presumably also a female. So I'm not going the sugya of androgynous, how we treat an androgynous is a very long and deep one. Not going to get into that. But I do want to get into this this idea of making the bracha in the case of the nolad mahol. So if you take a look in the Beis Yosef here, so the Beis Yosef says b'simin reish samach gimel kasav came b'shem Rabbeinu Hai v'harambam kasav ger shemal kodem shenisgayer. The Rambam adds in, this is not in the tour, but same thing, a ger who had a bris before, I mean, who was circumcised before he converted, the katan shenolad kishumol, and a child that had a that was born circumcised, kishematifin mimenu dam bris enam tzrichin bracha. That when you take the blood, you don't make the bracha. The chayin androgynous emavarchin al milasa on his mila either ifnei shehu eno zachar vaday adkan lishon. That's what the Rambam says. So v'haravid kasav. So the Ravid argues on that Rambam. One second here. So this is at the very end of Hilchos Smila, there. Okay, so the Ravid right over there argues on the Rambam and says, hold on a second. He says, "V'Ravid kasev asagish mevarchin alav," that we make the brachos, "the kaimalon the mevarchin al safek deoraisa." He says, "Hey, wait a second. This is a case of a safek deoraisa, right? That the idea of doing this bris is a safek deoraisa. Why are we doing the bris? It's a suffix. It's a question whether it's required or not. And it's a din d'oraisa. Having the bris is a biblical mitzvah. So suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. So says the Ravid, of course you should make a bracha on it. The mevarchan al suffix d'oraisa. So v'chachmei lonil, shalu leharambam. I believe lonil is in Provence, which is southern France, which is where the Ravid came from. So I'm not sure historically. I think the Ravid lived a little bit. I mean, the Ravid, I think his life overlapped with the Rambam, but was younger than the Rambam. The Chachmei Lunil, there's a question that was asked to the Rambam. So chronologically, I'm not sure what's going on. But the Chachmei Lunil asked this question to the Rambam, Al-Kach, Ve'heshiv lahem l'chazik dvarav. And he answered them to strengthen his own words. I mean, the Rambam said, it's a good question, but I'm still right. How do we know? So I don't have access to the Tshuvos. Oh, I shouldn't say I don't have access, but I don't have a copy of the Tshuvos Rambam. But the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef certainly did, because the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, besides writing the Beis Yosef and besides writing the Shulchan Aruch, also wrote the Kesef Mishnah. So on that Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah is a commentary to the Rambam. So he quotes that letter that the Rambam wrote to the Chachmei Lunil answering this question. Again, what's the question? Right? Asks the again, the Rambam said that if you that in the case of a nolad mahol, we'll just use that example, or the ger that had a convert that already was circumcised, so you do a tafas dam bris, but you don't make a bracha. Right? Why is that? So the assumption, so the Rambam is saying that, well, it's only a suffix whether it's required or not. So therefore, we're going to do the bris as a suffix d'oraisa, but we're not going to make a bracha. Asks the Ravid, hey, wait a second, if you're doing the bris, you should make the bracha, right? If we're going to say that you're required to do the act, so suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, that and the bracha should go along with it. Now, it goes a little bit deeper than that because we have some safek d'oraisas that it seems that we do make a bracha on. So I'll just share with you what he writes. So the question was asked of the Rambam, and the Rambam answers tshuva hadvarim yiduim. I should have scanned this before, but didn't. Hadvarim yiduim shekol bracha shal mitzvah derabanan hi bein she tia hamitzvah midivrayim bein she tia min haTorah v'chachamim heim she tiknu es habracha. He says no. The mitzvah that if the mitzvah derabanan, so the rabbis imposed a bracha on the mitzvah derabanan. What's an example of a bracha that's imposed on a mitzvah derabanan? Challah on Rosh Chodesh. We'll do one 2 days, right? Friday's Rosh Chodesh, right? So we'll do right. That's a bracha on a mitzvah derabanan. But he says the chachamim heim shetiknu es habracha. But when it comes to the mitzvah on the Torah, so a mitzvah of the Torah, so the Torah defined. Oh, thank you. The Ravid is actually older than the Rambam. Okay, thank you. All right, so it could be that the Ravid raised this question. The Chachmi Lunil around him sent the question to the Rambam. Okay, interesting to see exactly how that worked. But the Bein Shetiyah Min HaTorah V'Chachamim Heim Shetiknu Es HaBracha V'Heim She'amru Shekol HaMavarich Bracha She'ina Tzricha Over Mishum Lotisa. Right, and they're the ones who said that if a bracha is not needed, so you violate Lotisa. V'Lefichach Kol Davar She'nistapik Lano, anything that we have a doubt, Imasiyas Davar Zeh Mitzvah shenitzavinu olo nitzavinu, whether this is a thing that we're commanded to do or not, whether that specifically is a din derabanan or a din d'oraisa, we're going to do it, but we're not going to make the bracha. I mean, the Rambam, the Rabbanan imposed a bracha on dini d'oraisa, but only when you're certainly doing the din d'oraisa. If it's only a question whether you're doing the din d'oraisa, so then you're going to go back, and so then you're not going to make a bracha on it. So he says, for example, that's what happens on the eighth day of Pesach, eighth day of Sukkot, excuse me, on Shmini Atzeres. That was the question about Sukkot. The Shmini Safik Shvi, that the eighth day of Sukkot might be the seventh day. So therefore, we, the Hilchasa, Mesiv Yasvinan, Baruch Elo Mevarchinan, will sit in the Sukkah, will perform the mitzvah act, but we're not going to make the bracha on it. Umina atalamet, and therefore you learn the chol hamitzvah sheyistapik lecha im ata mitzuva o ein ata mitzuva osen osa below bracha. That any mitzvah that we're questioned whether we're commanded to do it or not, you're going to do it, but you're not going to make a bracha on it. He continues on. It happens to be some very interesting things that he says here. Right, he says, however, if the whole that's the way the Kesef Mishnah answers that question, right? If it's a mitzvah, why shouldn't you make a bracha on it? The answer is because it's a question whether you're chayiv to do the mitzvah. So we'll do the mitzvah, we're not going to make the bracha. That's of course a tremendous yesod. Now there is a bit of a problem, and that is that the Rambam himself seems to contradict this in Hilchos Kriya Shema. Because in Hilchos Kriya Shema, the Rambam says if you're mesupik whether you said Shema, whether you didn't say Shema, so you should go back and say Shema with the brachos of Kriya Shema. That's the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Kriya Shema. I forgot. So you somehow have to distinguish between a suffik mila versus a suffik about whether you did it. Now there is a big difference. What's the difference? When it comes to mila, it's a suffik whether you're required to do it or not. Right? It's a suffik in din. Right? Is this mila obligatory or is it not obligatory? If it's not obligatory, so then you're not doing anything, in which case you shouldn't be making a bracha on it. However, in the case of the Birchas Kriya Shema, you don't know whether you did it. Right? So what does halacha dictate you do if you don't know whether you did it? You go back and do it again. If you're going back and do it again because halacha dictates that you do that, so then you should go back and make the bracha again. So but that principle, the idea, and it's very hard for people. Clear violation or demonstration of a lack of understanding of this idea shows up right around now, this time of year, right around now. Why? Where does that come up? The idea of the mitzvah versus the bracha in Sfiras HaOmer, right? So when it comes to the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer, so if you miss a night, so what should you do the next night? So according to 95% of Rishonim, you should count again. And not only should you count again according to 95% of Rishonim, you should count again with a bracha, right? Each night is an independent mitzvah. You're not necessarily counting up, you're counting tonight. So whatever, I didn't count Omer tonight, whatever tonight's night of the Omer is, even if I missed last week, I have a mitzvah to count tonight. Every one of the 49 nights is an independent mitzvah, right? The one main exception to that idea is the Bahag. And the Bahag says, no, if you hadn't counted the night before, you shouldn't continue. It's all about counting straight. It's not that every night is an independent mitzvah. Therefore, if you miss a night, you shouldn't even continue counting at all. How do we paskin? So we paskin to continue counting, but out of deference to the opinion of the Bahag, that maybe I'm not obligated to do so, I'm not going to go ahead and make a bracha. Okay? So what do most people do that miss a night? They say, oh, I missed a night. I guess I'm done. I guess I don't have a chance to do anything more. So but that's not the halacha. The halacha, according to most Rishonim, is that you absolutely could continue to do more. That you ask, every night is an independent mitzvah. Why don't I make a bracha on it if I have a mitzvah? Because there's a suffix whether you're going to be fulfilling a mitzvah or not. So therefore, we don't make a bracha. But as the result of that, the result of that halacha, I think Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out when it came to eating in the sukkah on the eighth day of Pesach, but on the eighth day of Sukkot, but this, on Shmini Atzeres. But the same thing applies here. The fact that the Rabbanim took away the bracha from it meant in the eyes of people that, oh, it must be a more lax halacha, and therefore many people don't eat in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and many people don't continue counting when it comes to the Omer. But anyways, that's the halacha, and that distinction between mitzvah and din is a very important one. Between mitzvah and bracha is a important one. What should we do here? Let's go into the Shulchan Aruch itself. We'll go into Dalet if we have time. But not much is added from the Beis Yosef then anyways. So if we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, so Reish Samech Hei Gimel, so what does he say? Ger Shemal Kodem Shenisgayer, if you have a convert who had a bris before the geiris took place, the Katan Shenola Keshu Ma'ol, and a Katan that was born when Keshu Ma'ol, when it had as already having a bris, Keshematifin Mimenu Dam Bris, Enam Tzrichim Bracha. That when you do the dam for the bris, so he doesn't require a bracha. V'chein androgynous eimavarchin al milaso mifnei she'enu zachar vaday. Similarly, a androgynous should not make a bracha on his mila, plus he's not certainly a male. Comes the Rama and says, aval kishachozrin al tzitzin ha'ma'akvin hamila. But you go back and do we talked about the last time, strands that meant that you weren't yotze the mila the first time. So tzarech lachzer ulevarech kol habrachos. You should go back and do the other brachos because you didn't do the mitzvah yet. Aval ein lomar kayem es hayelet hazeh, but you shouldn't do the tefillah. Why shouldn't you do the tefillah kayem es hayelet hazeh? Because the tefillah of kayem es hayelet hazeh is relative to, is a bracha given to the child, and the child already got that bracha. The shachad zin with katan shenolad. Okay, we did that earlier. Ches shenolad keshu mahol ein tzarech bracha. So kasev atur that b'shem bal iter mikol makom bracha shel hachnisu bevrisu shel Avram Avinu v'asher kedish yedid mibeten mevarchin. That the other brachos you could do. V'machaber atik lashon Rambam mashma midvarav the ein tzarech bracha. Kali, you don't make such those brachos, and so does the Rashba of Aran. The mila duha din de ein mavarcha lav lachniso be bracha. I'm not sure what that last part stands for. Mavarcha lav lachniso be brisa shel Avram Avinu. Okay, so it seems the shach seems to paskin not that way. That some would suggest that maybe you should make the other brachos, especially as we spoke about last week. The bracha of lachniso be brisa shel Avram Avinu is sort of a bracha about the father, about bringing a child into mitzvos in general. So maybe you should make that bracha, but the shach seems to ultimately side that you wouldn't. Now, the first line here of Dalid is a fascinating concept, and I'll share with you it. And the truth is, it's good that we're out of time, because I want to ask a few more questions before maybe figuring out what is actually done. But Dalit, it says, a mamzer be Yisrael, who, that a mamzer, a child who was born from an illegitimate relationship, is considered Jewish, and you make the brachos al hamila, right? So far, so good. Ad kares habris. Aval ein mevakshin alav rachamin. We don't do the tefillah on behalf of such a child. Why don't we do the tefillah on behalf of such a child? So the Shach adds in here, Kalomar ein omrim kayemes hayeled. Why? Mitam v'lo nichu l'Yisrael hakadoshim l'kayem hamzerim shebineim. Because it's not really good for the Jews to have all these mamzerim amongst us. Really? I don't know. Like that's like a very shocking statement he says there. Mitam ze ha'omdim sham. I think I have a letter rubbed out here in my shach. I don't know if anybody is following, but it says mitamza umdim sham something. Al. Maybe it's aleph lamed. Al. Yeah, maybe that's it. Al yomru acher shenimol kishem shenichnas lebris etc. Kein hu b'marshal. Therefore, you don't add those tefillos afterwards. Oh, just as he came to bris, he should also have come to marriage. No, he's a mamzer. He shouldn't. We're not hoping that for him, which is like. That's shocking, number one. Shocking beyond that is this addition that the Ramah adds in. And the Ramah adds in, Umifarsimim bishas milaso shehu mamzer. And we share, we publicize at the bris that this child is a mamzer. We make it known at that point that he's a mamzer. Now we hear, I can understand that that's a, why we would do that. Right? That the... Why we do that? Says the why? Because we need to, we need to somehow have it known out there that this is a child is a mamzer, and don't be reading him shidduchim. First of all, he's only 8 days old, and second of all, he's a mamzer. He's going to be limited to who he's going to be able to marry, right? So in the Pesukim Mitzvos here, it adds in Hayinu Shemachrizim La'achar Bris B'Kol Ram, that we actually announce. I'm not sure who he's coming from, the Maharil, right? Teidu, everyone should know. Teidu hakol, shayelet hanimol hu mamzer, leman lo yisarev zara bizarenu, that he shouldn't be able to marry amongst us. I don't know, is this practically done? That's a wild thing. So the Shach, the only thing it says on the page here is the Shach says, v'kasev Maharil, shahayu malin oso b'chatzer b'saknesses, etzala pesach b'saknesses, that you don't give him the bris in the regular place. As opposed to kosher ones, we'll do, inside, well, it says Eitzel HaPesach by the door. But anyway, he seems to be saying that you do the bris in a separate place, also to publicize this idea. Now, making this even more, okay, so that's shocking enough. We generally don't have too many, we generally have ways of avoiding most cases of Mamzerim today. But if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, comments about in mevakshin should be on the pages. Chidushei reish ayin kuf. Reish ayin kuf on the page. About in mevakshin, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, bechol vlad shiyesh b'leidaso nidnud avera. That any child that is born with a hint of sin, afilu issed d'rabanan. Even if it's an issed d'rabanan, ein omrim ashrei Tivacher v'chiyotzi, but we don't say some of the tefillos for him. Ve'ein omrim shvachim la'avuleim dafka b'midi d'meforsim v'yadua. Right, v'dafka b'midi d'meforsim v'yadua. And we don't say praise of the father and the mother, but only when it's well known that they've been in violation of this prohibition. So that's like a wild thing. I mean, this comes up. Children of intermarriage, children of with some sort of issue with the marriage or not in the marriage. So at the child's bris, you're going to go and like publicize this. So I'm wondering whether this is how practically this is done. I guess Mirza Hashem will pick up with this hopefully next week. Joel's got to go. All right. Have a good Yasher Koach. Okay. Good night, everybody. Well, Mirza Hashem pick up soon.
Yasher Koach. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.